Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Spring is here, or at least some days at least it feels like spring is here, and that means that if you want to garden, it is time to get started. And let me say right now, wow, do you have a lot of questions about how to do that? We are excited that so many of you sent in great questions and tips through our text club for this conversation. We'll be asking a lot of those today, and if you want to join that text club, send the word Boston to 617-766-0382. I'll say that for you one more time. Boston to 617-766-0382. Lots of questions from first-timers, lots of tips for first-timers, and here to help us with all of it, Patrick Parent, a product line manager at Mahoney's Garden Centers and host of the Paul Parent Garden Club, a garden show started by his father 55 years ago. Welcome back, Patrick. Happy spring.
Well, happy spring. Thank you for having me. I'm super excited to get that message the other day that you were looking for some more tips on what to do in the garden this spring.
All right, so pun intended, let's dig right in. And I'm going to start with the fact that it's going to be like 40-something degrees on Thursday, but yesterday it was 60 degrees. So I worry about tender little shoots and saplings and roots. Is it time to start gardening now?
So it is, but not outside yet, right? The gardening can actually be started by seed in the house. A lot of your vegetables that you are going to put outside, we are actually close to 2 months away from really going outside, like your tomatoes, your peppers, those types of things, right? We're waiting for the last frost of the season. And the last frost of the season is usually May 20th.
Really? So not till mid-May?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. The more north you go in the state, the later it is. You go on to the Cape, it's probably a week to 10 days prior, the more south you go. But that doesn't mean don't start, right?
So let's pick up on that. So you're saying you got to start inside. We have a question from one of our listeners that I think might be perfect here. Dylan from Kingston said, I'd love to start a vegetable and fruit garden, but have limited space. I love to hear ideas on how to produce a decent amount of vegetables, fruit, utilizing smallish spaces. Since you're starting inside, that smallish spaces feels really important. So where might Dylan in Kingston start? What kinds of vegetables and in a small space inside, how does he get that going?
Well, first off, I would say don't go crazy and try to do all the like hybrids and the crazy like varieties. Go for some of the simple, because if we start going right away to those hybrids and we fail, we're not going to want to continue. So what we're looking at, you start really a lot with herbs. We're going to look into, you can do peppers indoors. If you want to do tomatoes, go with the smaller varieties, like the sweet 100s, those real small ones, because you're going to get such a harvest out of them. You're going to feel so much better at the end when you're like, wow, I was so successful. You can even put in some different like squashes and cucumbers. You know, cucumbers in a container, I mean, think about it. If you grow a cucumber in a garden, you're putting a trellis or a fence or whatnot. You could buy a container, put a tomato cage in it, let those cucumbers grow up the side and all around and create a very vertical space for those where you're going to get the same amount as if you would do it outside. I mean, that right there is one thing that I would suggest doing.
I was also intrigued by this starting early with herbs, right? I love the idea of the confidence building, because part of the reason I don't garden more with indoor plants and vegetables, Patrick Parent, is because I don't do well with them. We reached out to a local gardener whose son happens to be a producer on Radio Boston. And when I heard that she's got like this rosemary plant that goes on for miles and I can't keep one alive, I wanted to know more. So Lila Tachi is a Lexington resident. Bart asked his mom what herbs she was looking forward to growing.
I'm always excited about growing basil, rosemary, and parsley for different reasons. And also thyme. Thyme, you can neglect. It grows naturally in a dry climate. as does rosemary. So they want soil that's well-drained. Basil is a little more finicky. I try to go with just the regular varieties.
I will say that my time is surviving in spite of me, Patrick. Again, she's underscoring the, hey, keep it simple, simple varieties. Are herbs something that you can grow year-round? And can you transfer them outside if you're starting them in the house?
Oh, of course. These are ones that, you know, some of them, you know, I grew up in Maine. And in our backyard, we had an area that we left these herbs out over the winter and came back
really?
The next year.
They came back?
Yes. They were very well, you know, isolated in an area where they weren't going to get a lot of wind, a lot of crazy snow, those types of things. But you'd be surprised at some of the herbs that would actually come back. I mean, chives, that's an easy one to come back. It's almost like they grow like weeds and you just can't get them to stop, right? It really is more of a perennial that if you want to use them indoors, bring it indoors. You know, you can actually make them a little bit smaller. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, no. So I'm going to pick up from there because you're giving us lots of this practical getting started advice. So what I want to do now, we're talking with Patrick Parent, who's from Paul Parent Garden Club and works at Mahoney's. I'm going to give you a few questions. We're going to do kind of a lightning round, you know, boom,
sure.
Question, boom, answer. So we'll start with Abby from Dorchester. My single garden goal this year is to grow tomatoes. What are the top tips for success?
So getting the right soil and making sure you use a fertilizer that has calcium in it, right? Calcium helps with the production of the tomato. And then at the same time, thinning out the leaves on the bottom during the warm months so the humidity doesn't cause any fungus or anything along those lines. That right there is going to take you to the next level.
So Joan D'Amico, a colleague of ours, says, I have a patch of tulips that tries to bloom each year and the bunnies nibble on them before they have a chance to bloom. I'm always trying to protect my tulips from the bunnies. Any tips for keeping the bunnies away from the blooms?
You know, I've looked and looked for many years of what would do the best. And I have found by far, there's a product called Rabbit Scram.
Rabbit right? Scram, like S-C-R-A-M.
Yes, exactly. And it is a product, it's natural, it's a dried blood. So, you know, the process, they're taking what's left when they are producing anything from a pig, right? And what they're doing is they're using the whole animal. And that blood, what it does is it shows fear to that rabbit. And we have a couple people who come into the nursery all the time and they actually buy a 25-pound bucket of it because they just watch the rabbits come to the area, turn around and run the opposite way.
So you know, Patrick, that there are many people out there going, okay, who knew you could buy buckets of dried blood to put on your tulips? I am assuming it does not affect the look of the bloom when it comes up.
No, not at all. This has actually been used for years upon years. This is something that was used, I mean, way back before all these fancy different styles came out.
All right. So we've got a comment from Gwen in Cambridge who also texted, said plant native species, they're beautiful, they'll last longer since they're suited to our environment. And Gwen on to say, and please use only natural fertilizers and pest prevention, please. Our drinking water, rivers and oceans are being polluted by chemical rainwater runoff from yards and gardens. Thanks. So what are the most natural, environmentally sound ways to feed your plants inside or out?
Well, so this is the thing. Taking a look at the package and seeing what terms are actually on the bag. Because I've been doing a lot of research on this. And if the bag actually says 100% organic, it's actually 100% organic. If the bag only says organic, the realization is it's actually only 95% organic.
Interesting.
And if I found it on the USDA website because I'm really trying to get that information out. And I'll tell you, it's eye-opening when you look at it.
So one of the listeners who wanted to give a tip was Katie Shields. She manages the community garden in Milton with 75 families participating.
Every time I introduce a new gardener to our community garden, regardless of their level of experience, I always start them off a little bit on the smaller side in terms of plot, because it can quickly become overwhelming if they aren't super knowledgeable or if they're just learning.
So Desiree from Reading had a question about a plot on the smaller size. Last year, I created a raised bed, 3x4. How do I know if I should replace any of the soil from last year? I did not have any cover crops over the winter, and the bed is open air.
So I never recommend removing all of the soil from something like a raised bed. The only thing that I always recommend is adding more amendments, like a compost, a cow manure, something along those lines, because we're feeding the soil. We're not just feeding the plant, we're feeding the soil, because if the soil is fed, that means your roots are fed, which means the shoots on the plants, which means the vegetables are fed. And it's really the best way to do it. So never take it out. Always add more and mix it in. And one thing that I've always looked at is all year you fertilize that spot. At the end of the season, don't rip out all the plants. Just cut them back right to the ground. Leave the root systems intact. Because next year, those microbes and everything that you put in the year prior are still going to be there. They're not going to be 100%, but there's some going to be there. And you're starting off that much better than starting off from scratch every year.
So you can cut them back, but don't tear them out.
Yes. You want to leave the root system intact, because that root system, I mean, think about it. If you are doing it all the time and you want more and more, you're fertilizing with something. Organic, non-organic. I obviously, you know, I let anybody choose what they want, but organic is the way to go. It only lasts so much, but it's building the root system and creating great roots.
All right. Patrick Parent is a product line manager at Mahoney's Garden Centers, host of the Paul Parent Garden Club, a gardening show started by his father 55 years ago. Will you come back post last frost so we can talk about moving some of this stuff outside?
Oh, I'll come back anytime you guys want me. I love talking with you guys.
Thanks so much. Hey, listen, there's more ahead. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.